Welcome to Soupbox, where every conversation is a warm bowl of connection.
Play it without any mistakes. It's kind of tricky. Whoop! See, now I already got to start that one over. Actually, I'm going to start it a different way. Okay, here we go.
Never gonna listen. If they do, it'll never last. You were never really special, not one of a kind. I don't know where you heard that you were. It's all in your mind. In the way, always is something to say. That noise, it keeps spinning around and around like a worn-out cassette. That noise in my head. I'm gonna jump on all your fears. You say you got all the pieces, you ain't got no key. Well, it sounds like excuses, and just proves that you're weak to me. That noise always gets in the way. Always is something to say. That noise, it keeps spinning around and around like a worn-out cassette. All that noise in my head.
Recording on my end. All right, I'm gonna take it off. Are we ready?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'm a little nervous. Okay.
I'm excited.
All right. Hello, Amber. Thank you for joining me, Amber Sweeney, a musician. I'm so grateful I met you. I didn't meet you officially till just now, but I saw you at Nosterville in Nashville. So I immediately fell in love with you as soon as I heard the first song, and I believe the whole room did. Like, everyone was like getting goosebumps. Like, I pulled over open mic from Toonstar and I was like, hey, who was this? Like, I just loved you so much. And You just joined Noster, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I've been on there for a year, but only really in the last like couple weeks have I been active on there. But yeah,
we're in love with you. So like after that event, we are in love with you.
Well, the feeling's mutual because like my friends had been trying. They're like, you got to get involved in this world. And I was like, okay. And it wasn't until going to Nosterville that I actually got to see all of you guys and feel the energy. And then I was like, wait, this is a really cool community.
Yeah. That was my third event. And because of that vibe at the event, it made me want to be like, oh, I need more. I need more Noster. And I totally get it. And I see that you've been a lot more active ever since. This was only a couple of weeks ago, but I've seen you posting a lot and people are zapping you, which is like small Bitcoin payments, giving you like love, like little gifts. They're like, we love you. We love you. I know, like, I love you especially. Like, I think I'm like your biggest fangirl on there now. And I'm like, anytime you post, I'm like, this is the best voice on Noster. So how did you end up at Nosterville?
So my friends, Jim and Julie Costello, have a daughter, Ainsley.
Oh, Ainsley. Yeah. I love her. She's so adorable. She's
so great. So I met them back in the Northwest. Ainsley was like, I want to say 13 or 14, maybe 14 when I met them. And we were all living in the Northwest and we crossed paths and then they moved to Nashville and I moved to Nashville. And they stumbled into this world. They were like, we're going to do some stuff here. We really believe in, you know, value for value music. And we think that that's happening over here. And so they started this thing called Phantom Power Media. And I know that Phantom Power has a podcast like I've been on with Jim. And yeah, so they were like, hey, we're partnering with Nosterville and I can't remember who else it was.
Was it Open Mic?
Yeah, open mic, Toonster. And they were like, we're going to put on a showcase, like we're going to show off Nashville and what we do with music here. And especially since they are so involved in the value for value space, they were like, we're bringing in all our friends to show us all off to all of you guys, but also to get us involved so that we could meet you as well.
I have a question about the panel, because that's the first time I've seen like a panel like that, where it's like everyone does one song and then goes on to the next musician, which I love because I have an attention span of like a 5-year-old sometimes. So it kept it so interesting. Is that something new or is that like something the music scene does?
That is a very Nashville thing. That's called a songwriter round.
Okay. Because I was like, I would totally go to all of them. I don't know. There's, if you want to explain it, I'm sorry. You want to explain what a Nashville is?
Every time you come to Nashville, like, honestly, I'll take you to all the songwriter rounds you want to go. Like, it is the thing for songwriters to do here in this community. I think it was born here. But I mean, it is, and it's that. You have like 3 to 5 songwriters on a stage, and they each take turns playing one of their original songs. I'm pretty sure this started like at the Bluebird Cafe.
Oh.
I could be totally wrong on that.
More information than I know. I'm like, I'm like, I love this concept. Like, I want to see it everywhere. Cause I love the stripped down version of like when you're just like, you're just with the guitar. It's very intimate. It's very sensual. And then when you start singing, I'm like, goosebumps. And this is what actually made me fall in love with music years ago, is because I was watching guys, just like punk kids, like playing with guitars. And then I got to see you and the 3 others with totally different styles perform, and I'm like, this is just up my alley right now. Like, I'm so happy I'm here. It was like worth the trip. So like, you, all right, so you know the family, Ainsley, do you work with her at all, or like, do you work with the family musically wise, because they're big musicians?
Well, since living in Nashville, like, I produced one of Ainsley's songs called Glitter. And then
awesome song, by the way.
I know she wrote it. She did the bulk of that. It was really fun to produce. And she performs so great on it as well. We've written together, Ainsley and I, a couple of times. But I mean, that's kind of the extent of it. I think we've been trying to figure out how to support each other best. And I mean, in the music world, there's this kind of a fight happening right now where they're like, let's forget genres. I mean, one of the things I see a lot on the Nosterverse is, you know, decentralization.
Right.
And so I think this kind of fits sort of tangentially into that. a lot of artists are frustrated with being pigeonholed into one type of music. And so I think like where I've worked with Ainsley in the past, she's got this cool pop rock, Taylor Swift even, you know, influence in what she does. And I'm a soul blues artist. And so sometimes like we're told that we have to be in these separate corners instead of finding ways to come together and create new and interesting sounds or just support whatever sound comes out of us naturally in that space. And so it's an interesting movement, I think. And so I think we're still trying to figure out, or at least I am, how to best support and invest in them. And they've been doing the same for me for years. So I love them. They're incredible people.
So like, but is that, when you say you're just like soul and stuff like that, is that what you've been doing the whole time, or do you do other genres for your personal?
Well, living in Nashville, when you co-write with people, a lot of the time it's country music. Okay. And so I have written a lot of country. I mean, and I grew up like on tons of different music anyway. So I've been in rock bands. I was in a ska band.
I love ska. That's awesome.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of, I think the point is like, if you're into music, you're into music, you know?
I bet you have like a creative brain too. So like, you're like, oh, I just got something for this. Like, I want to write it. Cause you seem like you have a very creative music brain.
For sure. Yeah.
So like your influences, what are your influences then? Because you have like a unique little style compared to like, not little style, but like a unique style compared to Ainsley. What influenced you to go that direction?
Well, I have always been a big fan of blues and jazz.
Okay.
I wish that I had done better when I was younger to dive into more modern artists. But like, I used to love to listen to like Miles Davis and Chick Corea, and like Ella Fitzgerald. Just really incredible, like, emotional pieces of music. Right. But I was also like a huge pop fan, so I loved Heart and Michael Jackson, and I'm dating myself completely with all
references. It's fine. I know all your references, so I'm dating myself as well.
Yeah,
I'm like, yeah, okay. Because I kind of like, I was like reading some articles about you, and you said you liked Heart and you liked Bonnie Raitt and Sheryl Crow, and those are your but those are all the people I listened to when I was a kid. So like, my dad was a big Heart fan. He like loved Heart. So like, as soon as I saw that, I was like, yeah, I get it, you know. So, yeah, don't worry, I'm dating myself too. But at the same time, it's like, when did you start singing, I guess? When did your passion just like become alive?
According to my parents, it was like the moment I came out of the womb.
Okay.
Music has been like the language of my soul. I started playing guitar at like 6, and that's only because my hands were too small.
Wow, shut the front door. Yeah. Really? Wow. Mm-hmm. Then it was your destiny. It was your life path.
Yep. Yeah.
So like, you love music forever. And like, what is your, okay, I guess, what is your first memory then? What's your earliest musical memory that really stands out?
It's kind of silly. There's a couple, but one of them, so when I was learning how to play guitar, there was like this adult guitar class that, one of my mom's friends were teaching. And so they let me go to this class. And I just remember like being so excited to learn all these different chords. And then I was showing all these adults like how to, cause I was picking up on it. And I was like showing them how to do it. I'm like, but look, it's like this. And I think they thought I was just a really cute little kid. Like, look at this little girl. She's so cute.
A little enthusiasm. I love it. I love it. So after hearing you perform and getting goosebumps, and being a big fan, I like, there has to like, there's a raw vulnerability in your music. How do you navigate that in your songwriting?
It's hard. I mean, the thing about it for me when it comes to songwriting is I tend to want to write a lot of sad or angry songs. and so I have to really work hard to write the more lighthearted topics. I think it's because of my ADD. I don't mind going to a heavy place quick.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that's like, let's find the problem and solve it. Or let's find the problem and cry about it together. Like that's never been something that I've been afraid of. I actually have more of a fear around writing the happy, like, who gives a shit, you know, kind of songs.
Like you want it to be emotional. Or yeah. Like you want it to have real feeling behind it and not just be like, all right, shake it off.
Like, yeah. I mean, we need the shake it off songs for sure. Yeah. But yeah.
But like, I don't know. For me, I used to always write really heavy. I love writing poems and, you know, just like lyrics. And my whole life, I would be like sitting in like my job, like scraps of paper and I'll stuff in my pocket. And I just used to always love writing, like, but it was so intense. And I also have like ADHD. I'm all over the place, so don't mind me. But it's like, I understand, like, you want to feel it and get in there. So do you ever get into a day where you're just pumping out song after song? Like, do you ever have that kind of like focus day where you're like,
I used to.
Yeah.
Yeah. I used to. And especially if I'm going through some, like, if I have the time and I'm going through some heavy shit, then yeah. I mean, I'll just kind of like, even if nothing necessarily comes in the form of a full song, I might sit down and just like write a bunch of half or partial songs. But like, I don't know, like the older I've gotten, like, and I do this thing for Songfinch. So I write custom songs every day for like anniversaries and weddings and birthdays. And I love that, but I find myself, you know, doing that, writing all these songs. I'll write like 5 to 7 songs a day for that.
Okay.
And then, you know, I'm like tired.
Like, yeah. I bet.
Yeah.
That's like a job. Like, do you think that kind of, it's like a fine line between taking your, like, your passion and making it a job. You know how, like, sometimes they say, like, once you do it, it's like as a job, you kind of get sick of it. Have you ever felt that way?
Where, oh yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause like, I saw, like, I was snooping on you, and then I saw where you did like Father's Day songs and stuff like that. And I saw that. Yeah. So I'm being nosy, but I think I want to order one from you. Cause like, I'm like, after like, without like after seeing you, I'm like so excited about like just being a groupie. Maybe like, I love you.
We're gonna hang out like a lot, I feel like. I just love your energy from the jump. I'm like, man, you're fucking cool.
Yeah, dude. As soon as I heard you, I was like, I just need to be in our atmosphere. So I was like, because everyone else is great. Like, I love them all. They all have their own talent. Like, everybody was very unique, but just I connected with you, especially. I don't know if this is a touchy subject, but like you said, you lost your best friend, and that the second song you sang, I think his name was Mark.
Yeah, he was one of the first co-writers that I met here in Nashville. Yeah.
Yeah. So that really touched my heart because I lost my best friend. And so it's like, when you, like, as soon as we got to that song, I was just like, I'm a ball. I'm a mess. I'm like, I wanted to cry. And I was tearing up. I'm like, all right, composure, Sarah, composure. So it's like, that's where I'm like, I feel like you have such a vulnerability in your songs. And I would love to like see your future and like watch it and like see how you like where you're going in life, you know? And it's like, I guess throughout your music career, have you ever had to like compromise your artistic vision, or do you feel like you get to set your path? Because with Noster, it's very decentralized. You get to be your own creative person. But I feel like, I believe you were traveling, you came from like LA or and stuff like that. So were you losing that vision?
Yeah, for sure. Let me start by saying I'm so sorry about your friend.
Oh, sorry. Thank you.
Yeah, that's terrible. Yeah, I grew up doing music. I mean, I was a teenager in the 90s, and my dream was to do this music thing. And the landscape was so different back then. It's a completely different world now than it was then. And I've really been frustrated with, you know, you got to figure out how to use ads on Meta, and you got to figure out how to build an audience on YouTube and all these different places in order to be successful. And so much so, in order for management or publishers or record labels to even look at you now, it doesn't matter how talented you are. I played in a room with like Randy Travis and the heads of Sony Music and stuff, and nothing. I got nothing. And a lot of that is because they're all very busy. They all have their projects. Unless for some reason it connects kind of like you and I connected, they're not going to follow up with you. And if you don't have any online influence and you don't have an audience that they can tap into right now, Forget about it.
Yeah, like they can't sell you. Yeah. I can see that. Because like on Noster, we're still kind of a small group. So like you're talented. Like when you came on, everyone's like, yeah, we need this. Cause like you're hitting a niche that not many people have on Noster. So this way I'm like, people, if you join right now, I do food. Not many people are doing food. You know, like that cooking is a recipe, like Noster recipe site. And everybody else is doing like calendars or communities or, you know, picture groups, and this is the only one that does food. So you coming in, you're setting like a milestone for us, and like you are the original group. So that's also another thing that you're kind of, you could be like the record, you know, the record company.
I hope so. That's one of the things I loved about the Costellos, like Ainsley's folks, is they're very much trying to help artists get into that space to do the same thing. So, I mean, I love it. And I feel the freedom here. There's some things that I'm like, ooh, I'm a very liberal minded person in this space. That's going to be interesting. But also there's just the human connection too, that I feel is there and it's present and it's different than any other space. And I love, like the cooking thing. I love that. I'm like, give me recipes without ads. My God.
Don't worry. I'm going to tap into you on that. Cause like, I'm sure you've met, like I've seen so many different places out on your travels. I'm sure you got some lovely like restaurant secrets you want to share with us, Amber.
Yeah. If I can remember them.
It's okay. I'll pick your brain. Don't worry. Okay. I'll be like, okay, you going on tour? Oh, actually you are going on tour, right? I mean, by the time this airs, they'll probably be over. But I think you're going to Georgia and South Carolina?
Yep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay. That's cool. So who's the person you're touring with?
Lauren Anderson is her name. And she's super bluesy and soulful also. And I literally sent her like links. I'm like, sign up. I think I sent her a link to Primal. And I was like, just sign up. I'll walk you through it later. Just open an account.
Are you singing? Are you performing together? Or is it like she performs and you perform?
We're going to do it in that songwriter round style.
Oh, nuh-uh. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm like literally thinking about driving up to see you guys.
You should.
If I can, right now, what part of Georgia is it?
Friday's going to be in Dahlonega and Saturday's going to be in LaGrange.
Okay. Oh, it's this weekend. Okay. I'm like, if I could, I would be there in a heartbeat.
Oh, man. I would. Sunday we're doing a So Far show in South Carolina.
You're going to have to come down south a little bit more.
I actually really want to. I have a friend in Fort Myers area who's been like, we've been trying to figure out how to like swap shows.
Okay.
And so I really would like to come down and do some shows in Florida. So anytime you got a hookup for anything like that, I'll be there.
All right. Yeah. I mean, I don't know many people here, but if you're in Fort Myers, I'll definitely drive to that. Cause that, I think it's a couple hour drive. So I'm in.
I'm anxious again, wondering if I impressed my new friends. Why the hell am I thinking about them when Lord knows they ain't thinking about all the moments I didn't react, all the times that I couldn't make them laugh, all their jokes I couldn't understand. Lord knows they ain't thinking about me the way that I'm thinking about me when no one else is around. Maybe I think too much about myself, but no one can tell, cause nobody's thinking about me. Tonight I'll put on my rose-colored glasses, look in the mirror to see just how good that ass is. Well, karaoke ain't ready for me, and I'm going alone, cause nobody sees that my white claw's a mic and my table's a stage, and I'm ripping these shots straight to my face. Well, it's dark as shit, but my glasses are lit. So relieved that nobody's thinking about me the way I'm thinking about me when no one else is around. Maybe that's the good news, baby. So go and do your own thing, 'cause no one's thinking about you the way you're thinking about you, like I'm thinking about the way I'm thinking about me when no one else is around. Maybe I think too much about myself, no one can tell, 'cause nobody's thinking about me.
Part of Nosterville 2.0. Are you a Bitcoiner at all?
In so much as that people have been zapping me and I'm like, this is cool.
But you're like, I don't know what to do with that. Yeah, I know, because yeah. I came onto Noster and everyone's like, oh, it's such a Bitcoin place. I'm like, I wasn't a Bitcoin person. And I talk to a lot of people, whether it's food or tarot cards or music, like that are completely different. But I can see how you can kind of get caught up in it. And like in 6 months, you'll probably have your own wallet if you don't have one already. It's a pretty interesting place. So if you could cook something with me, what would you like to cook?
Oh, well, that depends. Well, what are your favorite things to cook?
I'm a big soup person, hence the name Soup Box. I'm like, literally, I used to get made fun of when I was a kid. My first boyfriend, he was like, we would go to IHOP on like after school or on the weekends to drink the bottomless cups of coffee for like $2. Uh-huh. And I would always turn to the waitress and go, what's the soup of the day? And like, he used to start mocking me, like, what's the soup of the day? And then so like, I don't know, I just been in love with soup since I was a kid. And so like, and then was like, you know how like soapbox is like, if you're standing on the soapbox and you're talking in the town square and you're saying your piece, it's kind of like meshing the two, like food and having these conversations that we are open and there's no censorship. That's why I like the whole idea of Nosters, because it's decentralized. You know how many times I try to build followings on other platforms? You have to have 200 users. You have to have 2 million views. You have to do this. And I'm already live streaming. Like, I made like $10 already, like on one of the live streams. And I never made anything in 2 years doing TikTok, you know? So
yep.
It's really interesting. Do you have, I don't know, I guess like since you're still failing out, Nosster, but would you ever want to do like live shows on like Zapstream for us? Or do you have any ideas, or are you still just kind of feeling your way out around it?
So I've been DMing with Mike from Toonster.
Okay.
And I had a call with Hive Talk this week, because I wanted to try actually live streaming our shows this weekend.
Oh, nice.
On Hive Talk. Yes. Yeah.
Yes, so, please. Okay.
So I think the goal is, because I used to do a Twitch show and it was kind of the same thing. You're just waiting for people to sort of come in the room and figure it out. And, you know, they could send you tips and subscribe and all that. But it still took a lot of time to sort of build that up. But it felt similar to this community where it's like people are genuine. They're showing up because they like you, because they connect with you and you connect with them, and you get to know each other in this really unique way rather than, you know, just being like, oh, here's my 10-second video on TikTok or my 5-minute video on TikTok. you know, which I don't get me wrong. I love scrolling TikTok. It's super fun.
Well, don't get me wrong. I was a fan for 2 years. Like by the end of it, I was like, I'm literally rewatching the same video, but different person the whole time. And then it would be 8 hours later. I'm like, 8 hours just passed by. Like it was so addicting. And then, then when I found Nostr, it was weird because people were actually talking with you. And I was like, oh, wait, you're talking to me? Like, I was so confused. And then they would help you build. So anytime I had a question, they would like immediately answer. So it was like such a community. And then after I went to Riga, which they had Nostriga, which was like one of the big Nostr events. And I was hanging out with all these people at the bar, just talking about life. And I was falling in love with all of them. So I ended up going to another event in Nostr Valley, which was in Pennsylvania. And then I went to Nashville. And each one, I don't know, the community is just so great because it doesn't feel like I'm just watching a famous person online. It's like, oh, I get to talk to you online and hang out and do activities. Like the last place I went to was before Nostrville was Nashville. I mean, Nostr Valley, which was Pennsylvania. And we shot guns. Somebody was a pilot and he had his private plane. He drove us from he flew us from Georgia to Pennsylvania. And then this is wild. And then we had I'm like how did I end up getting on a private plane, shooting guns, eating food, having this beautiful like farm hill like Airbnb Vrbo style rental. It was just so awesome. I was like, this is fun. I'm having such a blast. And I think you being part of that, you're going to see like how great this community is, like especially when it's live and in person. I think they're shooting for Alabama next year. Hint, hint, hint.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So maybe you would talk to Mike or something. And I don't know about that.
Yeah.
That'd be fun to have everybody get together.
Yeah.
And because we like to eat food and we like to do activities and we're all open. You know how you said, like, I don't know about the whole like stance of how people talk sometimes on Nostr because it's so free. And I think it's because people can and they just never were able to before without getting shut down. Like if you go into Blue Sky, you could say one thing and get like immediately shut out, like they'll block you and they'll ban you. And it's like here, it's like I think people are just like, you know how like when you are not allowed to do something so you end up doing it just be like and just because, and you just want to get out. And I feel like once that tones down, people start becoming friends. And even though people have their own opinions, people can still be civil with each other on there.
I know it's a little
intense at first because I was like some of the things that were said against like my people, like they'll like say like racist things, and I was like, okay, that was intense. But then I'm like, I don't care, like it doesn't bother me because I'd rather like fight for people to have the freedom to speak than to be shut out, because I came from a situation where I got silent. And so like I don't respect that idea of silencing the other point, the person's voice, if you don't have both sides of the story.
I had the same thing. I mean, I felt I grew up in the church and there was a lot of like, you can't say this, you can't think that, you can't feel that, and a lot of, you know, their own programming and the way that, you know, they sort of shape even your political views. So I totally get that.
So I know it's like, cause it's intense. Like when I first joined, it was a free for all. And I was like, ooh, okay, mute you. So, but then I started just meeting people in real life, and you kind of get to see the face with the person. And then like, you're like, oh, they're just saying it cause they know it's free speech, but it's not, they don't have a hateful bone in their body. They're just saying it because it's like, they're like being, what is it, like anarchist, you know, like they are like, they're being like, rebels. They're just like trying to be like against
what system. how do you really like challenge a perspective if you can't get it out of your head anyway, right? I mean, you got to be able to get this shit out sometimes. Not that I think I err on the side of like kindness when it's and specifically when it comes to like the racist stuff, I have less of a tolerance for that, but I also think that it's important for white people to talk to other white people about that and be like, here's why we shouldn't say those things.
Yeah, I hear you. Because, like, I'm Jewish. So, like, I would hear, like, people saying, like, nasty things like, oh, they control the government and they're calling us like slur words. And I'm like, and especially with the Israeli-Palestine situation, mm-hmm. I'm like, I'm not for that war, like, and you're like grouping me into this. Like, I don't think that should be happening. You know, it's like, yeah. But I can't, what am I going to say? Like, I'm like, that's what you think. I'm just going to mute it. I'm moving on. And that's the thing is, like, there's with this kind of social media dynamic, the social protocol is you can just ignore it. It's not going viral. It's like, yeah. That's where other platforms, like one side only goes viral. And that's what I like about Noster. Yeah. I've been there for about a year and a half, and I'm very active. And well, mostly because I think food is going to be a great way to initiate conversations. Like,
yes.
Yeah. So
back to food.
What?
So you asked what I would want to cook with you, and I'm thinking.
See, my ADHD brain, I'm going to keep going, Amber. That's why, like, if I talk too much, it's because I'm like, blah, blah, blah. I love talking. I'm sure you saw my first email to you. It was like 40 pages. Yeah, so like,
How I fell in love with you at that point. I'm like, oh, I love this girl. Yeah, this is awesome.
When I feel comfortable, I just like I start talking. Like I'm like,
yes.
So I do apologize. Yeah. So what would you cook with?
So I have been wanting to cook to make birria. Birria.
What is that?
Have you seen that? So it is basically if you think about like a French dip, you know, you make the French onion soup and then you have the sandwich. It's like that, but it's a Mexican dish, and so it's like. This delicious taco that you dip in this delicious soup that you cook the meat in.
Oh, I think I know what you're talking about. Yes, you can make that for me anytime. I have to go to Nashville. You're going to have to cook for me, okay?
Okay, I will. I honestly, it's so funny because like I live with my best friend,
okay,
Jessica, and our deal is that I cook and she does the dishes. And so I've had a blast like, learning like I because I'll look up a recipe and then I'll be like, oh yeah, I could do that, and then I'll tweak it, you know.
Right Like what is like your normal like weekly meal, like what's your go-to?
There's been a few things, and it kind of depends on the season. Like right now I'm really jonesing for chili because it's finally starting to get cold, so I found this great vegan chili back in 2020 and I've tweaked it to make it my own, and of course I've added meat since then, but I like to do that in the wintertime. I have a chicken soup that my mom learned from her friend when I was little that I like to replicate a lot.
Okay, so when I come down there, let's make me a bunch of chilies and soups, okay?
Okay,
we'll do it. I'm so into it. Yeah, like cause my goal for the show is like to eventually go to places and sit down and have a meal with you while we're talking.
Ooh, I love that.
Yeah, maybe the mics might not be so great. If you hear the intro to my show, I thought it was funny, so I kept it. I'm sipping something, and it caught on the mic, and I was like, oh, that's really loud. And I was like, actually, I really love it. So next time when you get a chance, listen to just the intro of the show. And so I was like, I just imagine like if we're eating, it'll sound like that, and I don't like. I think that might be a little too much, but we could push it aside and have a conversation. And like,
oh, girl, I'll help you with the audio.
Awesome. Yeah, because I want to do like a Anthony Bourdain meets like Joe Rogan kind of like long form, talk about food, but talk about life, get really in there, maybe cry a little. But I want to get to the point where I can make you want to share your stories with me, but like we're having really deep, thoughtful, meaningful conversations.
Yeah.
So I'm still learning how to guide the conversation that way without rambling and without asking like, you know, so how did you start music? You know, like I wanted to be deeper because I'm a deep person.
Yeah.
Like listen, I hate small talk. I want to sit there and be like, all right, tell me all your feelings right now, and then I'll tell you all mine, and then we'll be besties for life. You know, that's who I am.
Totally. Yeah.
So, I don't know. When I saw you perform, I felt like you were like very.
Oh, I'm totally that way. I have to always pull it back. I'm always like, Amber, these are new people. You just need to calm down for a second.
I've been there. One girl, she said, "Why are you telling me this?" sorry. She's like, that's too much information. I just met you. I was like, okay, sorry. I don't know. Who cares about the weather, you know, unless it's really beautiful out. But like, you know, for the most part, I'm like, what makes you cry at night, Amber? Like, what makes you happy? You know, what makes you want to dance in the rain? Actually, what makes you want to dance in the rain?
I never want to dance in the rain. I hate being in wet clothes.
Really? I wouldn't have to make you dance in the rain.
Oh, like there's something about like for the longest time I love swimming. When I'm in the water, I'm fine. If I have to get out, I'm like, I hate this feeling. It's like one of those sensory things that I'm like.
Oh, okay. No, there. I'm like that with light. Like if you put me in a room that I hate the lighting, I have to leave. I Walmart versus like Whole Foods. I'm like, I can't stand being in Walmart. I feel like it's aggressive and I'm like, I feel it. And I'm like, I got to get out of here. But yeah, I totally understand.
Yeah. But if I was going to dance in the rain, like
okay,
truly unabashed, I think the things that make me dance in the rain are, I foster dogs.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. Nice. I haven't been able to have one this week just because of there's a 2-week commitment and I was going out of town. But like, I love seeing them find like a forever home that is just the perfect one. Like that makes me want to dance.
You know what? If you posted those pictures on Nostr, you'd be very popular.
When I come home on Monday, I'm pet sitting one of the dogs that I fostered, and I will flood the feed with pictures of her.
We'll be there. I'll be like sharing it, be like, look how cute he is. Yeah, or they are. So yeah, please do. My goal is like, I would love to have like a sanctuary, but I want a sanctuary where it's like maybe all cats or all dogs or something. I just want to like, do podcasting and then like have a little farm, you know?
Aww.
And so that's my goal. Maybe eventually one day I'll get there.
I love that.
How did you get into fostering?
I just started this year. I went to an event with my friend and the organization that I foster through is called Wags and Walks, and they started in LA, but they've got a location here in Nashville. And I think they just opened up a new one in New York. And so they happen to have like a little puppy fair there. And so they had these like little tiny cute puppies and they let us all hold them. And I was like, oh my God, I love them so much. And I've been thinking about it for a long time. Cause I was like, man, I really want a dog, but you know, I travel a lot and it's not really like conducive. And, you know, so I was like, well, maybe I can foster. Cause then one, I'm participating in this really cool thing that's helping the dogs and the families that ultimately adopt them. But then I get to see what life would be like for me with a dog.
You want to like, eventually have one? Sorry to interrupt you.
But yeah, like, I would love to eventually have one of my own.
Is this a good test run?
Kinda. I told myself I was gonna do this for a full year before I even considered adopting. I mean, there's two things, right? Like one, you gotta have the time to really love that animal, and it can't be so interruptive in your life that, you know, you stop what you're doing. And with somebody who has ADD, I'm like, puppies. What do you mean I have work to do? Cuddle on the couch with the puppies.
I get it.
It's like, oh shit. So I mean, really like getting, like helping me like understand, okay, like what would it actually take for me to balance the two things? And then two, finances. Like you got to be able to afford it. And as an independent artist, like, look, everything I do is contract work. And so, you know, I'm trying to get jobs doing this and I'm scraping to make ends meet. And so I want to make sure that I'm in a place financially that I can care for this creature well, you know,
Yeah, I get it. Cause like, you never know, something like a $600 surgery might pop up and you're like, I don't have that. And then what am I going to do? And then, yeah, I get it. Cause I'm always the same way. Like I'm always like between contracts and here and there. My ADHD brain is like, I can't last here because it's killing my soul. So I'm moving on to the next project. So it's like, I need something that will balance with me, but at the same time, it's financially. And like, can I be consistent enough to have a pet in my life? You know?
Yeah.
So I totally get that. So like, when you are fostering, they pay for everything, no? Or okay, so like, are they supplying the food and toys and the surgeries and anything that comes up? So you just
So I'll give you a good example of this. It's a sad example, but it's a good example. So there was a bulldog, a 7-year-old bulldog, who was brought into their care. This family had rescued her, like, how do I say this? Actually, she was rescued from the meat trade in China as a puppy by an organization and then placed in a home with a family in Southern California. that family had her for years, and they were getting ready to move to Nashville. And apparently this dog had chronic UTIs, and they got tired of dealing with it, and so they wanted to put her down. Well, the husband was like, no, we're not doing that. Called the original rescue that they adopted her from, and then they put out this emergency bulletin. Hey, these guys are moving to Nashville, which is how they Wags and Walks got involved. When she came into their care, she was not well. She was extremely overweight. She had alopecia, and she had a low thyroid. And so she was with the foster for 6 weeks. And this foster and I had become good friends. She and her husband were considering adopting this dog, but they have a little Frenchie, and he would just get in her face all the time. And she bit his tooth out. She was like, no, we can't keep this dog. But they loved this dog so hard for 6 weeks. And so then I got her, and I mean, I got the list of care, and she had to have facial baths every day, to get into the crevices of her face to make sure to clear up an infection that was going on. Within a week or two of us having her, she developed this cough, and it got serious enough that we had to take her to get x-rays, and then it landed her in the hospital overnight. And Wags, of course, is paying for all of this stuff. They're taking care of all of this, and they're an incredible organization. But so we got her home, and I had to nurse this dog back to health. I mean, she was on three different antibiotics. She had a UTI. They thought that maybe she had had pneumonia or something like that. And so we just loved the crap out of this dog, but it was also a lot of work. You know, I'm giving her these wipe down cowgirl baths every day, twice a day. And you know, doing my best to keep her comfortable. I had to figure out how to lift her head and make a pillow so she could actually breathe better. And I gave her a cool mist humidifier. I did so many things for this poor little girl. And then about 2 weeks after that first hospital visit, she woke me up at 6:30 in the morning, gasping for air. So I called I called Wags, and they're take her back to the hospital. They did an x-ray. She was turning purple and blue. And they said that, that she'd had a mass on her heart that was so large, it pushed her heart 4 ribs away from where it should be sitting.
Holy no. Oh, wow.
And at that point, they're they could do surgery, but she's 7 years old. She's really sick, and it doesn't guarantee that she would survive. And so the rescue made the really difficult decision to put her down. And they were like, will you stay with her? And I'm like, of course I'm going to stay with her. So that was really, really hard as far as an emotional thing. And I sat there and I just sang her little song that I made up for her. And I was trying to call her previous foster who works nights. So she didn't quite get my call, but Wags was really good as far as they covered all that stuff. I mean, that there was 2 hospital visits when she was in my care, plus all the medication. So there was a hospital visit when she was in the previous person's care. So, you know, they'd had this dog for a little over 2 months, and who knows how many thousands of dollars they paid to, you know, keep this dog alive as best as they could. And so a terrible, terrible outcome. But I mean, those things are expensive, and they gave all the food, and they gave all the beds and the crate and anything that I asked for. They were like, yeah, here.
All right. I'll be donating to them. Okay. Yeah. Okay. That was a sad story, but I think it was a blessing that you were in her life to give the dog that comfort as best as you could at the end.
Yeah.
So thank you. Yeah. All right. So what's the name of the charity again?
Wags and Walks Nashville.
All right. I'm definitely going to donate to them when I get a job. That'll be my Christmas present. So I'm going to thank you for joining me. I've been taking you for over an hour, so I don't want to keep you too long. Is there a way that people can find you or stalk you or love you up and down the way I want to? Because I'm a big fan. But
well, I am on Noster, so if you just type in the Amber Sweeney, I don't have a hidden or crazy name or anything, just me. Follow, send some zaps. I do have a Lightning wallet. I have not figured out how to get it to activate right, as far as sending zaps through Primal, but I do receive the zaps, so, and okay. I'm very grateful.
Yeah, we'll help you. I'll definitely do the best I can. I'm not sure because Primal has their own system, like they have their own wallet where everybody else does it separate. So, but we'll get you situated. I'll get you set up the right person that could probably help you the best.
Thank you.
And then your website, what's your website?
It's theambersweeney.com.
Okay, that's what you're
saying. And I'm on Wavelake for people who want to stay in the Nostraverse. You know, you can stream my music there. But I'm also on all the traditional streaming sites as well.
You are the best. You don't even understand. I would hope to maybe have you come on again.
Yeah.
If that's cool with you. All right.
Totally.
Yeah. So I want you to see the before and after, like when my interviewing skills get a little bit better. So I can.
Yeah, they're not bad. You need to know that they're not bad. You're asking good questions and like, you know, you're good when you come back to something like it. Yeah. You're doing pretty good.
I just gotta stop. My ADHD brain went like one direction when it asked you all about food, and I think I talked about like three different topics till we got back to it.
I mean, we've seen Jimmy Fallon; he does the same thing. He starts one question and then it leads to like a tenth question. You're like, I don't know which one of these to answer, but I'm gonna do my best.
Well, you're the best, Amber. Thank you very much, and I'm very grateful.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you for having me.
Better than you, better than Tito's, better than a rom-com paired with Doritos, better than you, yes I can do so much better, better than nachos made with Velveeta, better than a goddamn skinny margarita, better than you, yes I can do so much better, better than you. Let me take your picture off the wall so I can finally stop falling for ya. There's nothing you really did I can recall to prove you ever loved me at all. So here I go, doubting myself again, again, and again. But my mama always said, I can do so much better. Better than you, better than Tito's, better than a rom-com paired with Doritos, better than you, yes, I can do so much better. Better than nachos made with Velveeta, better than a goddamn skinny margarita, better than you, yes I can do so much better, better than you. Now I can see that it was never about you. Had to climb this hill in order to get a better view. Replaced your photo with a vision board. And all the things that I'm still looking for. Like a bigger check and self-respect. A grand old stage with those special effects. A life that makes me feel so rich. And a therapist to make it stick. That I'm so goddamn worth it. And to remind me that I am so much better. Better than you, better than Tito's, better than a rom-com paired with Doritos, better than you. Yes, I can do so much better. Better than nachos made with Velveeta. Better than a goddamn skinny margarita. Better than you. Yes, I can do so much better. Better than you. Better than Tito's, better than nachos and Doritos. better than Tito's, better than a rom-com paired with Doritos, better than you. Yes, I can do so much better. Better than nachos made with Velveeta, better than a goddamn skinny margarita, better than you. Yes, I can do so much better.